This episode of Trophy Horrors is brought to you in part by Play31.net. Play31.net offers single tables, speed, sit and go tournaments, and regularly scheduled multi-table freeze-out tournaments with hundreds of players. Make sure to use code 1212 when registering. That's Play31.net.
All right, Donnie, this week I want you to count me down in your top five favorite superheroes.
Go my three, Spider-Man, Wolverine, and he's not really a superhero nor an anti-hero, but I'm going to say the Hulk. Lego.
Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. I'm saying, with something mean, supposed to be elite. But I told that be so awesome, and that Donnie be amazing. But enough about me, yes, we all played the ball to make it this far. But honestly, when it wasn't for the fans, it would've been canned a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. Baby mood, I didn't got it wrong, we call it PG. Rated M, I don't blame much for the violence in your household. Behold.
Trophy whore.
Hello everyone and welcome to Trophy Horrors, and I guess that Tricky Mick got a lot of emails saying that listeners really want to hear me host because got the second week in a row that he decided not to show up to the show, so that leaves you in my very capable hands this week. By the way, Donnie, I'm going to go ahead and say that I consider the Hulk a superhero because, as you can see in the
really?
Avengers, okay, so he definitely has his moments where he goes crazy and, you know, like he fights the army and stuff. A lot of times because he's attacked, he's, you know, he provoked. But look what he did in the Avengers, you know? He helps out, too. Well, okay, so there are sometimes when he attacks the Avengers, but there are a lot of times also when he helps the Avengers, like the Avengers cartoon,
Yeah, that's the more accurate one.
Yes, the TV series, not the actual movie cartoon, the TV series, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, he always helps out there. I mean, he's rarely, you know, if he's you know, angry with someone, he's usually jokingly, or if he's against a team member, it's... all right, we're getting off. Donnie, how are you doing this week?
Doing great. And, well, I want to say I'm doing okay. I just had the... earlier this week on Thursday, I got neutered.
Wait, you don't have any balls?
Yeah. Nah.
No, you got snipped? Is that what happened?
Nah, yeah, I got snipped, said to me, and no, they don't take away your nuts. They just snip the semen cords and tie and burn.
So how you feeling, Donnie?
It's not what guys think it is. It's not scary at all. I didn't feel practically anything.
Well, I'm assuming they put you under for it.
Nope. I thought so too, but nope, they didn't.
They give you anesthesia, like anything to dull the pain?
Yeah, they numb. I was going to say not they, it's just he. It's just one guy in a room with you, and he's doing all the work, and yeah, he numbs you up real good.
Numb nuts!
Yeah. Numb.
With that, admitting that, Donnie, I think you opened yourself up to a lot of jokes from Tricky Mick.
Oh, yeah. I'm questioning.
Yeah, see, and he's not here.
Yeah, maybe like two of them are probably going to be funny, but I don't mind sharing my personal experience
to the public. Two of them are going to be funny? You're being generous there, Donnie.
No, Tricky's not, he's not all that funny. He's going to look up his jokes online and then try to come back with some. Like I said before, Tricky only has those certain moments where he can get one in and only one. If he try to continue with the jokes, the next one always craps. So... I'm quite sure if he was here for this episode, he had this one.
All right, well, I think now the pertinent question that I have to ask is, Yield, did you get a vasectomy this past week?
Nah, I'm good.
Sounds like maybe I got something. Maybe I'm missing my balls.
Nah, my boys are still attached.
My boys are still attached, too.
No, they're not. They're just there. They're just hanging out.
Well, my boys are still attached. The tube, the tunnel that they used to get across the bridge is not there anymore. It has been destroyed. But they're still there.
Really, Donnie? That's the kind of metaphor that you...
See, like I said, they're just there. They're hanging around.
I was using the...
Every time that I cross a bridge now, I'm going to imagine Donnie's penis. I can't get out of my head now.
I was thinking of the Canadian tunnel that we use, that Michigan used to get to the Canadians.
To the Canadians?
You just get the Canadians. We don't go to Canada. We just get to the Canadians.
Yeah. Alpha male there, Donnie. Let's do your updated trophy count for this week.
My updated trophy count is level 24 still. And I put down some trophies, and I just made it to percent 2. Like I said, I just signed that funny still. And trophy count is 4591. Even though my e-penis is still big. You know what? 61 plaques.
I was waiting for you to finish that, and like, he's either gonna crash and burn or he's gonna crash and burn, and you somehow avoided it.
Yeah, just 61 plaques.
Only you could get away with that, Donnie, because the rest of us couldn't be that graceful in defeat. All right, Yield, have you amassed any trophies? Perhaps a new platinum.
A couple trophies. That's about it. A level 17 trophy count of 2,593 and a plaque count of 29.
Woo! All right, well, I haven't been that busy, at least gaming, this week. I've actually prepared. Yesterday was my 10-year high school reunion. Going to date myself there a little bit. So this week has been crazy, working every day. So I have the weekend off to enjoy time with my friends who came in town. So I didn't get a whole lot of gaming in, but I did manage to add 5 trophies to my total. So I'm still level 20, sitting at 3,681 trophies and a plaque count of 38, really 37.
How many 10-year reunions have you been to?
One. This is my 10-year high school reunion, the first one, so I am 28, yes.
You know, Tricky bitch, like 3 of them.
I would figure that Tricky, I mean, Tricky, like, no. You don't talk about this too much. Tricky Mick is really a 75-year-old man. New Jersey. Most people don't know that. You know, there's sometimes you just got to break down the wall and you got to come out with the truth. And, you know, that's, yeah, I think Tricky's getting a hip replacement this week. That's why he can't be here with us. Which is why him going to Detroit and shooting Donnie was all the more impressive, because he actually was able to get out of the house. You know, I'm sure they gave him a set of extra Fig Newtons when he got on the plane so he can enjoy it.
Fig Newtons.
No. Oh, Tricky. Tricky's not 75. He's in his mid-50s, all right? He's in his mid-50s. He's not up there yet. All right. Played a little bit more Saints Row the Third in preparation, you know, gearing up for Beyond Two Souls to come out. Donnie, do I even dare ask, or actually both of you, because last week we talked a lot about Grand Theft Auto. I assume that that's what you guys have been playing this week, too.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't really play on the weekends now, but... Yep, Grand Theft. And I've been playing a lot of Feeding Frenzy, which is a very, very fun and addictive game with the kids. I finally got a chance to play the multiplayer games on there, like the party games. And those games are, if anyone is know about Feeding Frenzy 2, which is that's what's on the PlayStation Network, those games are pretty fun as heck.
Well, what's the premise of Feeding Frenzy? Because I have no idea what you're talking about, Donnie.
Oh, well, Feeding Frenzy is just a game where you start out as a small fish, and basically you just got to eat other smaller fish, and then the more you eat, you grow, then you have to eat the next biggest fish, and plus the smaller fish if some come across you. Then it's like 3 levels of growth, 2 levels of growth you go through in the game, in each level.
It's kind of like there's a touch game, I think, for iOS. It's called Osmosis. So it's an indie game, and I think it's available for a number of platforms. But it's one of the things where you're a small bubble, and then you got to eat more bubbles to get bigger, or you got to eat progressively, you know. Or you start as a smaller bubble, and you got to eat bubbles smaller than you, and you grow bigger, and eventually you can eat all the bubbles.
Yeah, and something similar to that. You have to also stay away from the other fish that's bigger than you, because you would get ate, and they got sharks. And in the story mode, it's some kind of fish, you know, mysterious fish going around terrorizing the ocean, and so they don't know what's going on, because of course they're fish, you know, they have like 3-second brain spans or memory spans. Stuff.
Really, Donnie? Really? Did you read this in National Geographic, or are you just making this up for the podcast?
No. I'm not making it up for the podcast. Yes. Most of the fish you buy from the store, and you have swimming around, and you give to your kids. The reason why they get scared all the time, if you tap the glass, because they just forget that you tapped the glass. like 3 seconds ago, so they get scared all over again. So that's pretty much why they get continue to jump.
Well,
mm-hmm.
There you go. The more you know.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, who's letting their kids tap the glass at the grocery store? Leave them fish alone. They're already going to get eaten. Yeah, all right. So feeding frenzy, Donnie.
Tap, tap, tap.
Anything else?
And yeah, just a heap load of Grand Theft Autos during the weekend. And I came across, actually, I just did a mission where I had to go on Grove Street to make a deal, you know, a drug deal. And I was like, oh, snap, Grove Street. And it looked just like CJ's neighborhood, but it wasn't. So I was quite upset. I like the house I went to. I like that looks just like CJ's house, but I went across the street, the house next to it. And if anybody remembers CJ's neighborhood, he had a basketball room next door, and he can go in there and play basketball. I didn't see the basketball room there, so I was like, well, maybe that's not CJ's house now. So, but it was just cool just to reference Grove Street there. And of course, all mayhem broke out because it's Grand Theft Auto.
It wouldn't be Grand Theft Auto without the mayhem. But I got his brother's name was his brother CJ's older brother. Was his name Sweet?
No, Sweet was. Spoiler, Sweet was a friend of his who ended up being the overall bad guy throughout the story.
Okay, that's right, because at the end of the game... And do we really need spoiler tags for Grand Theft Auto San Andreas? I mean, really?
No. Like, I was just about to say, like, well, shame on you if it had to be a spoiler, but... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while, but I remember you were driving the fire truck or something like that, or your brother was hanging off the back or something, and you had to chase down the character that was voiced by Samuel Jackson, the dirty cop, Tenpenny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. All right, so, all right, Yield, what about you? Are you playing more Grand Theft Auto?
No, actually, I played a little this week. But I didn't play as much as I would like. I've played some Grand Theft Auto. I've played some Flight Control on the iPad. And my last 2 days have been wrapped up in this little freebie game I picked up on my iPad called Pocket Trains.
All right, now Pocket Trains, what is that about? Is that fun?
I enjoy it. You start off with a couple of trains, and they run a couple of different routes. I got one that runs from Munich to Berlin. And the other one runs from, it runs Munich to Berlin and Munich to Milan. And then the other one runs, Milan to Paris. And there are other lines that you can build. You can build tracks. And then you can also buy crates and open them up and get train parts to buy extra more trains. And you basically build a train empire, and you run – each train only holds so many cars, and you can shuttle train cars from one depot to the other to be picked up by the other train to go to its destination. And you kind of manage your cars, how many – you know, each cars are worth so much, and there's so many in a pack.
So is this essentially like Railroad Tycoon for your pocket?
Probably. I've never played Railroad Tycoon, but I'm...
Well, it's just kind of like creating your own business kind of empire with, all different sorts of things, like theme parks and, you know, cities and stuff like that. So let's go ahead and just jump into our topics this week. I'm actually going to throw this first one to Donnie. It's obviously... we've been talking a lot about Grand Theft Auto. Since Donnie has played so much of it, pounds away on it on the weekends, I figure that he would be the best person to take... this first topic.
Because some people might have heard about the micro transitions that's supposed to be going for that's supposed to be presented into the Grand Theft Auto Online. And it turns out to be true. I am...
What kind of microtransactions?
Dirty microtransactions. That's what.
Yeah,
well, they're all dirty. Exactly what? Like buy this special gun and it's yours to use online.
Yeah.
See, that'll totally ruin the game for me because you'll run across random douchebag who will spend that money for that gun and totally run over everybody. Where I'm a tightwad and I'm not spending that money.
Yeah. Essentially, what it is stuff that you can unlock in the game, but just by playing Grand Theft Auto Online, if you don't want to take all that time, you can just use real world money.
Nope, I gotta cut you.
All right, whoa.
You both are somewhat wrong and somewhat right. The microtransactions, you know, the game Grand Theft Auto Online doesn't open or doesn't launch until October 1st. But you could use through. It's going to be microtransactions, real money to buy clothes, guns, cars, pretty much anything you can use money in the end game for. But you also... But the thing is, you do not have to use it. You will eventually unlock everything that you're buying. You will eventually get those some point in the time in the game. You just, you know, just save up the money, the in-game money. So, not a big deal. And the sad thing about it is that you can't, if nothing rolls over from the actual game to online game. Yeah, whatever you do in Grand Theft Auto Online, it doesn't roll over into your real Grand Theft Auto 5 game campaign game. So that's kind of sucky. In which I'm a little shocked, but not that shocked. I'm a little shocked that they would use the microtransaction thing, the Rockstar, but I'm not that shocked because when you think about it, Grand Theft Auto Online is given to you free for anybody who bought the game new. I'm not quite sure about the used copies, but I'm quite sure it'll still be there, or you might have to do the whole $10 thing, which I'm not whole positive.
Well, hold on. If you put in – okay, so help me. I might be ignorant on this, but it's on – like the Grand Theft Auto 5 disc has the multiplayer on there, doesn't it?
No. Whoever has multiplayer – I mean, whoever have the game – when you go pause the game and you look at all the stats and the game settings, and you know, you could also look at conversation that happened in the game and read it all. And if you keep scrolling down, you will eventually come to online. And when you get to that tab, it'll tell you this part of the game has not been launched yet. So it's on there. I mean, well, I'm not sure if it's on there, but the property or whatever you got to do to put it on the game, it's not open for anybody.
Well, what I'm wondering is, are you going to have to download a separate file from like the PlayStation Store or something? Because I'm like, when I first heard of Grand Theft Auto Online, I didn't, you know, I thought maybe it's like something they're doing that would kind of supplement what you already get. So like it would be some like online portal that you could play on. But if it's just the online, you know, functionality, like, I would figure that it would come, like, if you buy the store, you know, if you buy Grand Theft Auto at the store, you would have access to that anyway.
Well, I'm quite sure you do, but like I said, nobody has it, no matter what. So even if I was to buy a used, it doesn't matter because whoever bought it new can't play it now anyway. So like I said, I'm not positive on the used copies, but I'm quite sure it'll still be there. You just probably have to pay a little bit more money. But I can kind of, like I said, I'm somewhat shocked, but not totally shocked. Just because, once again, if you think about it, the Grand Theft Auto Online is free. And it will appear however they make it appear. And then on top of that, it's basically Grand Theft Auto 5, except you're playing it online. So it's like two games for $60, basically. Except this one, the online is basically MMO, which is, well, you gamers know what MMO is. And Grand Theft Auto 5 is the campaign game.
Oh, hold on, Donnie. I have a question. Are you suggesting that when you buy Grand Theft Auto 5, you should, like, that, you know, you say you're getting two games essentially for free, but you don't think that, I mean, do you think people should have to pay for both of those as separate entities? But I think that, you know, if someone says, hey, you know, if you pay $60, you know, you can get the single player portion of the game, but you've got to pay extra for the online portion. Like that whole concept, like if anyone ever asked me to do it, like, no, I'm not doing that. Just give me both. Like that was my kind of concern.
Yeah, just give me both. But when you think about it, you're going to have to pay for online on next gen anyway.
Well, yeah, because you got, at least on, even on the PlayStation 4, you got to pay for PlayStation Plus.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you want to do the multiplayer, you have to pay for it. Don't get it. Let me reword it before people take my words again and say how they want to arrange it. You don't have to pay for online. Like, you would still, everything you do on Station 3 right now with the online services would still be there for you to play around with. Talk to your friends, message, you know, update your trophies. You'd be connected online, but if you want to play multiplayer, you have to pay for it on Station 4 with Plus. So, there you go. I think this is cool. They're going to make more money off this anyway because people are going to buy into it. You know,
I think the only reason that, you know, people get upset about this is if it, you know, if it somehow, like, I think, you know, a smart way to be would be, and I think some developers have done this, to pool, you know, if people are, you know, people who do take advantage of microtransactions, find a way to split them away from everyone else, because the big concern with this is that, you know, they're going to have the people that buy the weapons and stuff or whatever, they're going to have an advantage over everyone else. Like, that's always the...
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You got to have those online douches. You know, them online scrubs. That's what I like to call them. That's my new name for them for now. Online scrubs.
Chumps.
Online chumps. You know what? Let's go with that because chumps is a running name for this show. You online chumps.
yes, indeed. Yeah. And yeah, that's, and you know, if it, I would hope that Rockstar, being as smart as they are, would know that, hey, let's not implement microtransactions. It's just going to piss everyone off by making, you know, a bunch of super juggernauts in there with everybody else who has to play through the game normally.
Yeah. And then I wonder how many, who's to say, we're not totally sure on what types of games, at least I haven't came across anything on what type of games can be played on the Grand Theft Auto Online right now. Anyway, only thing I know about is you can team up and do heists. As far as I know right now, it's just a free-for-all roaming the streets. And if you spot somebody with a gamer tag on top of their head, shoot them. That's far as I know right now. So I don't know about anything about free-for-all or team death matches. I don't know anything about it, which I'm quite sure it might be there. Just because
I'm sure that'll all be in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite sure
it'll be there. I hope you can do things without having to go in and play with everybody else. I'm hoping that you can kind of go do your own thing. Because they said that you can earn your way in with AI gang members to rob liquor stores or whatever. And I'm hoping that you won't be, you know what, here, I'm doing my own heist and I'm doing my own thing. And here comes this group of people that are like, hey, let's go screw him over and mess up your whole heist.
Oh, that is a very good question. Yeah, because that would make it not as fun as people think it would be now. Because while you're doing that, I wouldn't want to see other people having their death match. You know, the team death match. I wouldn't want to see all that happening. Like, I hope that when you start a death match, it'll bring you off into your own little area. So when you drop in, you won't see just a bunch of gunfire happening over there. So you might get caught with a stray bullet while you robbing a bank. You know what I'm saying? That's a good point, man. Yeah.
I mean, that's the danger that you always get into with matches with people online. That you get partners who are gonna fuck around.
Oh yeah. Well, what's her name? Rockstar. Is it Rockstar with the Red Dead Redemption?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, boy, that was some bull crap. And you know what? That was like that. When you're trying to do certain things in the game, people would come in and halt you from doing that. So, I hope even though when you start like a death match, it will branch you off away from the free roam. But it's some things that they got to think about before October 1st, in which they will launch some free stuff. Free updates and all that stuff following the launch of Grand Theft Auto Online. So we're going to get some free stuff, everybody, and all that good stuff. I don't know how good the free stuff would be, but...
Well, it's free.
Without the money, I'm quite sure it won't be no golden guns and stuff like that.
I mean, here's the way I look at free. How can you complain about free? I mean, really. It's just things you get. And even if they're crappy, it's kind of like, the game is still great. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, Grand Theft Auto is getting all these really good scores. Everyone seems – I've talked to people who say it's, like, the greatest game ever. And I'm sure that's kind of – in some cases, I'd call that hyperbole because, you know, that thing where you see a movie and right afterwards you're like, oh, my God, that was the greatest movie ever, blah, blah, blah. And you think that because it's fresh in your mind. But no doubt that Grand Theft Auto 5 is definitely getting a lot of love, and deservedly so because Rockstar are really good developers.
Yeah. And there's Hold on. The whole greatest game ever, I wouldn't say that to any Grand Theft game. I would say this is the best one in the series just because they brought back some very important stuff, in my opinion, should have been there for any open world game of this kind. So, in my opinion, I don't think any Grand Theft Auto game could be the best game ever just because of the type of game it is. Because none of their stories are like solid stories. They might have some decent stories, like San Andreas had a decent story, and people say 4 had a decent story, but right now, Grand Theft Auto 5, it has a decent story, but best game ever, I don't think none one of them can go in that category.
Well, and you mentioned story. When you've got people who, you know, you're creating a game with a story, yet you've given people so much free reign in what they can do, where they can just go literally for hours and just screw around. It's kind of hard, I guess, to always connect, make that story, you know. When people aren't, you know, going at the story, you know, boom, 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 like it's not like a linear game like The Last of Us, the story kind of gets lost a little bit. You can always come back to it, obviously, by, you know, going on doing the missions and stuff. But with that kind of game, sometimes there's like long intervals between the story. But, you know, even, you know, Donnie may not think it's the greatest game ever. And like I said, I think it's a little hyperbole, not having played it, but I think it's hyperbole to say that, you know, for most games. But Rockstar, definitely very lauded creators, and a really cool note here, they're going to be at the New York Film Festival and its Convergence series. They're going to be two panels and a concert, and essentially it's Grand Theft Auto 5 developers. First panel is a masterclass in storytelling from the GT5 creative team. It's called Visit Los Santos in Blaine County, the World of Grand Theft Auto, which is just going to be those guys, the creators, just kind of talking about, I'm assuming, the game and what went into making it and their influences and, you know, why they made the decisions they did. And they actually have a concert, too, by the composers, the people who had music in Grand Theft Auto V. And I got to say, like, if you've ever been to Video Games Live or anything like that, like, seeing that kind of stuff, like, game music live is a really awesome thing. So there's going to be a concert that stars some of the game's musicians. It's going to be on September 30th. And there's even going to be a an event, an NYFF live event. It's free to the public, and it features all the game's composers. So Grand Theft Auto 5 and Rockstar are going to be featured in a big way at the New York Film Festival. We'll have to see. You know, do you think we could get Tricky to go to that? Actually, no. This is September 28th through the 30th.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
All right, well, hold on. Time
by
out.
The time you listen to this,
it
happened already. But I just wanted to say, like, I think they're just going there just because to brag on how much money they put into the game. Like, it's topping all the big time movies, and
yeah, like making over $1 billion.
Exactly, making over $1 billion in the first 3 days, and then on top of that, just only a small percentage, even though it was a lot, but went into the makings of the game. Ridiculous how much money they put into this game just to make it.
Well, they obviously
it wasn't
they
a
made
billion
it back already.
Oh, yeah, they made it back on what? The second day? Second, third day? They actually made more of it back. Because they didn't put $1 billion into this game. They put, like, dang, how many millions they put into this game?
I would hate to see a game that they put, like, it was probably, like, I think I heard 295 million quoted. But if anyone put a billion dollars into a game, like, that game would have to be, like, the greatest thing. Like,
you know what? It'll have to be... If not the actual game, very, very close to the game. I always go back to this, to the game of Jason X, the movie Jason X.
Yeah, the Jason in Space, yes.
Yeah, the Jason in Space one, where the game they was playing, and they thought Jason was one of the characters in the game, but when he cut him open, he didn't die. His arm was just there on the ground. But it was just, they were playing a game. It looked just like how me and you was to go outside right now and play a game. That is the actual game. And I was like, that is a game worth putting $1 billion in.
it would have to be some serious space age tech. Yeah, but it, like with this event, like it went down this weekend, actually, this past weekend. Any press that you can get, like for your game, saying, "Hey, look how much we've made." I mean, obviously they're getting a lot of press for it anyway. But if you can show them,
say it like that.
I mean, if you can show another side of it, like, "Hey, here's the music," or you know, "Hey, here's some really interesting facts to get in to you know about the game with the developers panel." That's just something like another way to pull people in, not only people who have been playing it, but you know, maybe tack on a few other sales. I don't know.
Hey, look how much we made, suckers!
Really? We talked about how the stuff in the multiplayer in Grand Theft Auto 5 or Grand Theft Auto Online would not go to your single player save file in Grand Theft Auto 5. There's a story on Joystick this week that we talked about the upgrade program, which they're offering on the next-gen consoles, where if you buy the PlayStation 3 game, you can get you can upgrade to the PlayStation 4 game later on after it releases. But disturbingly, there's a well, not disturbingly might be a harsh word, but it turns out that your single-player saves in the PlayStation 3 versions of those games, you better finish the game before you upgrade, because it turns out the single-player saves will not be able to be taken to the other consoles. The developers, representatives for EA, Ubisoft, and Activision said that basically they couldn't figure out how to do it. So if you say if you're playing Assassin's Creed Black Flag, you're going through the story on the PlayStation 3, and then you say, "Hey,
what?"
You know, you say it's like you get the PlayStation 4, and you say, "Hey, I'd like to continue this on the PlayStation 4." Your save can't go to the PlayStation 4.
Okay. Yeah. How can they not figure out how to do it when they're doing it with the PlayStation 3 and the PSP? And the PSP,
they said that the publishers did not have a method for porting the single player campaign save files to the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Specifically, they said Assassin's Creed 4, Battlefield 4, and Call of Duty Ghosts.
But this is what I'm trying to say. They transfer and save data from Station 3 to the Vita, and they also doing it through Vita through Station 4. So how can they not figure out what the problem is?
I Donnie, you know what? I don't know. You know, a lot of the times with the developers, sometimes, you know, publishers and developers, they will put out an answer that is sounds good. It sounds good. It's good for PR. It's publicly, you know, it's politically correct or something. But behind the scenes, maybe there's another reason. You know, we may not ever find out. You know,
I'll just say, you know what? I don't feel like doing all that stuff. I prefer that to be in the non-papers. You know what? Ubisoft said they don't feel like putting in the mechanics to transfer your data over. You know what? That's more respectable to me.
Well, I mean, just be honest. I mean, if they, you know, maybe keep it real. Maybe they are being honest, Donnie. Like, I'm not an engineer, a game creator, or an engineer, so I don't know. Like, I know jack shit about developing video games. So for all I know, they could be right. I mean...
Yes, same here. I don't know either. I'm just making jokes because it just sounds weird when you doing this stuff already, but you can't do it now. That's why. And it just how you said earlier, they all just sitting around the round table figuring out what to say for the papers and for the interviewers, and they all just came, that's it. That sounded smart.
Well, and also, it seems like sometimes it seems really hard to actually transfer save data from one PlayStation 3 to another PlayStation 3. So I can understand how going from one system to a completely new system with different architecture, I can see how that could be a problem.
It's not hard to transfer a data unless your data is copy protected, which I really don't understand that copy protected stuff. Now, that's something they need to like put in papers and interviews, like, why are they doing that? But all you need is a flash drive and transfer your data over. So it's not that difficult from Station 3 to Station 3. But like I said, maybe if they are telling the truth, like they always do anyway, but let's just take it for granted that they are telling the truth this time.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's not say they always tell the truth, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know why I completely forgot about, like, because I have an external hard drive that I use to transfer data from, you know, unless it's copy protected, from one place to, from, you know, my computer to, or my PS3 to my computer, just to kind of back it up. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why I said that.
They got to you, man. They got to
you. I've been drinking too much this weekend. That's the problem. Because earlier I couldn't remember dates with New York Film Festival, and then, yeah.
Oh, that's why. It's a code word in here. Every time you say it, it makes you forget things like that.
What's the code word, Donnie?
I'm not about to say it.
Is it sandwich? Even though we have not said the word sandwich until now.
Nope. So it's not that. I'm not about to say it, man.
Is it South Park?
Dang, is it South Park?
Wait, I just forgot what I was talking about.
Dang, me too.
All right, so South Park, the Stick of Truth, it's coming out. Correct me if I'm wrong, Donnie, it's an MMO?
Or an
RPG?
That's what they're saying. Yeah, RPG, that's what they're saying. And quite frankly, I know I'm about to probably get, you know, messages for this. What's the difference between an MMO and a role, an RPG? Because you're both leveling up.
RPG is a role-playing game. I could be wrong with this. You are playing as said character. An MMO is a massive multiplayer online where you're playing as a said character, but you're playing with a bunch of people to achieve the same goal. You can do it by yourself, or you can do it with a bunch of people. Whereas an RPG, you're playing by yourself with AI characters.
Okay, technically, isn't every game that's not an MMO an RPG? Because you're playing with a set character. Metal Gear, you're playing as Snake. Oh, well, Kingdom Hearts, well,
The ways that we categorize games, the lines have gotten hazy in recent years because, you know, you could spot the games, say, oh, that's this type of game, and then that's this type of game. Now it's like there's hybrids, you know. Castle Crashers has elements of RPGs in it. There's player progression in a lot of games. You know, that's the way that games have evolved. Instead of, you know, keeping them all separate, we've kind of smushed them together. Putting shooters, you know, with, you know, elements of, you know, you can upgrade weapons and upgrade the player, and it's just, it's everywhere. I mean, you can't, you know. So I think that, you know, saying that, I mean, there are RPG elements in so many games that, you know, it's kind of hard to delineate what type of game it is all the time. But, I mean, like, yield is, I believe, correct, where it's just, like, the number of people that are playing.
Yeah, but I knew that was, like, the main difference between the two, because massive multiplayer. But it just seems funny to me, or sounds funny, strange, to say that just this game is an RPG, and the RP stands for role-playing, and basically that's what you're doing in practically every single-player game out there, and first-person shooter out there. You're taking the role of Kratos, you're taking the role of Master Chief, you're taking the role of, you know, Snake. That's a RPG. But I will say the element that's considered in an RPG game that the games I just named doesn't have is the ability to level up the character. Even though you can level up your weapons in some of those games I just said, in an RPG, you can level up the character. I'm not quite sure on the weapons, but I'm quite sure if you can level up the character, you can level up the weapons. But that's the only difference that's the only thing that's not in the games I just named. But back on this topic, the Stick of Truth, South Park, I'm not quite sure if it is an MMO or an RPG, because I'm not quite sure if you can switch between characters while playing the game or not. So
I was just going to say, I got to admit, that may have been the most off the rails we've ever gone, because I completely forgot we were talking about a certain topic. But no, the Stick of Truth, I was watching the trailer for it, and it looks really funny. Of course, it's, you know, Matt and Trey, the creators of South Park, were heavily involved in it, so it's going to have the humor, the tremendous humor and the writing that we all love from South Park. They came out with a release date for it of December 10th in North America, and they've talked about a whole lot of, you know, they got pre-order goodies out. They were also released, you know, they're going to release a Grand Wizard edition for $80. And if you want to pay the 20 extra bucks, you get a figure of Cartman as the Grand Wizard, a map of the Kingdom of South Park, and the Ultimate Fellowship Pack. Which is just four exclusive costumes with special abilities, which seems like a lot to pay. You know, I've said before, I don't really bite on pre-order bonuses or anything like that, like figurines that come with games. It seems like a lot to pay, but, you know, who knows? I mean, South Park fans, you know, they love their South Park.
Yeah, I will say, not for a South Park fan, it's not. I think it's a little bit expensive for paying $10 for that little map.
Put it over your bed, right next to the Grand Theft Auto 5 map, the Los Santos, Blaine County map.
See which one is bigger.
I'm going to go ahead go ahead with Blaine County and Los Santos.
I don't think the replay value, as far as the comedy, I think the comedy was going to get boring real quick. It's like in every comedy game.
I mean, maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe they've written like millions of lines. That's ridiculous. They got to work on the show too. But, you know, who knows how much time, how big the script for this game is. All right, well, the last two things we're going to talk about here in our topics, we're going to Naughty Dog Land, because Naughty Dog is awesome. We all love Naughty Dog. The Last of Us, anyone who bought the game new knows that there's DLC coming. Actually, they detailed on the PlayStation blog three types of DLC that's going to be coming for us. It's really good news, because it's not only multiplayer stuff, but we're getting single-player DLC, too. Yeah, the first thing they're going to be releasing is a map pack with four levels in it, Suburbs, Depot, Hometown, and the Bookstore for the multiplayer. That's going to be available October 15th, so in just about 2 weeks. The thing that's really exciting for me, for Donnie as well, and Yield, because we all love our story games, is a single-player DLC that's planned to release in January, December. It's going to be focusing on a new character. They don't say whether Joel and Ellie are involved, but they actually were casting for a new character. And they're going to start capturing and shooting this week. So hopefully they're going to have that out in December or January.
You mean to tell me they haven't started on this single player DLC yet? That means it's going to be rushed. Because that's only a couple of months away.
Of all the studios, you can be sure that Naughty Dog's not going to rush it. Has Naughty Dog ever given you a reason to shake your faith in them?
No, but when you say something's going to be out in a minute, you haven't even started it yet. That's kind of like, okay, wait a minute. Are you playing with this right now?
No, I think, but they didn't set a definite date. They just said December, January. So it could be out, you know, January, you know, 3 months away.
Yeah, and they're just filming now, so.
Yeah, well, it is DLC. It's not like they're giving us a whole new game online. Grand Theft.
I think you're. I don't think you need to be really worried that much, Donnie. The third of the DLC is going to be for the multiplayer, so that's going to arrive. They said in the first half of 2014, but. You know, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but with Uncharted 2, they had some stuff for the co-op and the competitive multiplayer, but they never, or Uncharted 3 and 2, but they never released any DLC that was kind of story-based. I can't remember the exact reason they gave for that, but I believe this is the first time that Naughty Dog's doing single-player DLC, correct?
I believe you're correct. They did a multiplayer co-op story. Yeah, there was like a co-op story where you could play as, I believe you could play as Flynn and Lazarevich and Eddie.
Okay, hold on. I got to get back online for that. Whoa. I don't remember a co-op story on the online version of Uncharted 3.
Well, you had to pay for it. There was a co-op one for you played as Drake and I think it was Sully and somebody else and you... It was like a five-chapter story that you could play with up to three people online.
So wouldn't that be a story-driven add-on? It wasn't directly tied into the story, but it was a story-driven add-on.
It was its own five-chapter story that you had to deal with Flynn, Lazarevich, and Eddie, where your main bad guys in this little... multiplayer co-op story, and then the one that you could buy, I believe you played as those three guys.
I'm gonna check that out. I thought I did everything on Uncharted 3,
but that one you had to purchase.
And you know what? You know another game I think is gonna be fantastic: Beyond Two Souls.
Oh, I just found out how the how the story is going to progress, and that just made me that much more intrigued for this game.
I'm holding all reservation until I play the demo.
Well, honestly, in my opinion, demos don't. It's not really all that good anymore, in my opinion. Like, demos are not sellers anymore, in my opinion.
See, a demo can make me buy it or not buy it. I had Heavy Rain kind of lightly on my radar. Played the demo and went, nope, not going to buy it. Now, what is it? 3 years later, you can find it for $20 at the bargain bin. I'll pick it up for $20 to play it. But yes. Now, Beyond Two Souls has got my attention.
All right, well, hold on.
I've seen some trailers.
Yield, I kind of want to contest what you said there, because I think a demo can sell people, but I think it's very rare. I think that more often than not, people know if they want to buy a game or not. And I think a demo has very little power to sway people. But on very rare occasions, yes, BioShock was an example of one of those. The demo that blew people away and people were like, whoa, this is, yes, we want this. But I think it's very rare for that to happen.
I agree. Cause I played a nice handful of games. Well, I won't say a handful. I played a few games on demos, and it turned me off the game. But then I got my hands on the actual game. I was like, oh, snap, this is a good game.
No, but Beyond Two Souls, I'm definitely – that's probably the last game I'm going to buy, or the last retail game I'm going to buy this year. Like Yield, I'm really looking forward to it. One, because I'm a huge Ellen Page fan. I think she's a great actress, and I like Willem Dafoe. As we all know, Green Goblin in Spider-Man. He's also Agent Smecker in Boondock Saints, the cult favorite Boondock Saints. So he's a great actor as well, so when you put those two together, I definitely think it's going to come out really well. Especially when Quantic Dream's behind it, with, you know, what they did with Heavy Rain. Now you've got years after that, what they've learned from, take what they learned from that and put it into Beyond Two Souls and make that even better. So I definitely think it's going to be awesome. But Quantic Dream at Eurogamer, they kind of talked about some kind of handheld support. Basically, mobile phones can be a controller option. Now, if you essentially what you could have someone controlling with the regular controller, the regular PlayStation 3 DualShock, that person would be controlling Ellen Page's character. And then if someone's using the phone, they would control the spirit that is connected to her. Or apparently there is a dumbed-down version of the single-player game with very limited interaction, which would essentially be like you watching a movie and just kind of, you know, doing things here and there, that you can use a phone to play through. You can only use you don't have to use a controller. You can use the phone to play through completely, but it's going to be a very dumbed-down version of the game. So if you just kind of want to watch it as a movie, that's an option too. So kind of a couple ways to play through the game. I myself will be playing through with a controller because Heavy Rain was one of those things where everyone said, oh, is this really going to be a game? It's not going to be enough game. But the things they did with the context-sensitive push, the contextual punches, like, you know, which button you had to press, directional stuff, it felt like a game. Like, you know, it raised your heartbeat. It was stressful. You know, it was nerve-wracking. It played like a game. It was a video game. And it gives me great hope for, you know, not only did you get the story, which for most of that game, I think it kind of fell apart at the end, but for most of that game, that story was great. And, you know, so you throw a great story in there and, you know, an actual game with it, you know, something that plays like a movie, but then there's a game element to it. That just has me very excited for Beyond Two Souls.
I never heard it's going to be enough game. I can somewhat understand that for very little, but you can expect if it's a game or you bought it for a console, or it's going to be game in your game, no matter how much of a movie it may seem like. I never seen a game and it's more movie than game ever. But going off this, what we just talked about in this article, bull crap to the utmost maximum. Like, I thought the idea, when they be doing things like this, as far as going back to the Vita and using that as your controller, and now we got a freaking phone, your Android phone, your iPhone, whatever type of app that I support this as a controller.
Still can't get through an episode without him saying that.
Exactly. Whatever it is doing this, the concept that they be thinking about, it's not a bad concept. It's a pretty decent concept. But I would prefer for you to take that concept when you take somebody controlling it on a phone or another one controlling it on a controller, turn that into an optional online. That way, if I'm playing with you, Alice, you can take control of the soul.
Well, Donnie, no one's saying you have to play this way.
I know you're not saying it, but the whole thing is just, I just don't like it. It all falls down in the whole thing of me buying the game for the console to play the whole entire game on the phone. Like, not the reason why I spent $60 with superb high definition graphics to play it on a freaking phone. And I'm only going to do what? Maybe put my finger on it and swish it to the side or swish it left, right, up, down, maybe diagonally. That's not $60 worth of stuff. Like the concept, the whole idea of the concept is okay, but making an optional co-op where you play on your system with the controller as the spirit, I play on my system with the controller as the main character. That's how I really look at these whole concepts of you using other devices as controllers, because you know if they didn't sell me the system with telephones as controllers, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Donnie, I understand where you're coming from. Like, I don't think for the majority of people, they're gonna want to play with a controller. They're not gonna want to play with a phone. So you know, I'm like you. I want to play with a controller. I don't see the point of buying a game and then just, you know, hooking up my phone and then just touching it, you know, because you still get to the experience the story. You're, you know, it's interactive and you still get to experience the story even if you play with a controller. You're just more involved. That's the way I want to play it.
Yeah, and that all goes back to what you said people were talking about Heavy Rain. Like, is it going to be more movie than game? Like, well, now it is. If you're going to play it on with your phone, it's going to be a freaking interactive movie, you know, with commentary. You know, it just, like I said, these concepts, the idea, they're good. They're good concepts as ideas only. You know, for you sitting around in the round table and to come up with this, you know, that is good talk. But as far as bringing it to tangible,
I mean, I think a lot of times it's just like, hey, we need to find a way. You know, everyone's using mobile phones now. People checking Facebook on their phones all the freaking time. They've got all these games on their phones. They like to play at work on break, sometimes not on break. People are using their phone. They're texting. People are texting constantly. Let's find a way to integrate mobile into this game.
Just take a page out of the Vita book and just make a ported version for your Android. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, okay.
That's the last topic. All right.
Well, before we have to hear Donnie sigh again, brings us to our question of the week. As always, we want to hear what you all have to say. Once we put it out there, hit us up on Twitter, email us, let us know what you guys think. Call in. We'll give you the number later and you know, give us your opinion on this topic. Donnie, since you came up with this, and I know you came up with it because you wrote it as I was reading the agenda today. all right, what is the question of the week?
Okay, question of the week is, how can one be tired of an open world game?
And let's just be honest here. You're calling me out on this. This question is directly aimed at me.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he's calling you out.
Because I have said before that, you know, open world games, like I said last week, San Andreas, it was too much to do for me. And, you know, I said Infamous broke me of open world games because I'm sitting here with all these little side missions and missions and I just kind of, I want to do all of them at once. It's awful. In my mind, just I sit there and end up playing. It's like, all right, I'll do one more mission, then I play for 3 more hours. Batman Arkham City was the first time that I got into an open world game where I kind of didn't have that. So Batman helped me a lot. And I've been playing more Saints Row, obviously. I've been playing Saints Row the Third recently. And I've been enjoying it, so I'm kind of lulling myself back into it. But Donnie, to be honest, with open world games, you know, there's a sense of, I've said this before, but for the, you know, our new listeners, you know, anyone who missed the episode, I find it that open world games have a very false sense of openness, in that there is only a limited set of things you can do. But yet they make it seem because you're in such as like a giant sandbox that there's the possibility is endless. Let's be honest. The possibilities are not endless. You can do pretty much very little more than you can do in a linear game. By that, I mean, okay, so take a game like I'm playing Saints Row. I can go in and say, like, I can go into select buildings and buy things. You know, I can steal cars. I can run over people. I can beat people up. I can shoot people. I mean, it's a very kind of small section of things that you can do. Yet because you're in this giant city, it's like, oh, my God, I can do everything. No, you really can't do everything. And let's be honest, no one wants to go up to their hideout and just sit there and watch their character watch television. I think it's a false sense of openness. I think that...
Although I hate to interrupt you, but I got to say, some of the Grand Theft Auto TV shows are kind of fun.
I watched them all.
did you watch The Fame or Shame when the dude's seen in the Power Ballad?
Yeah, I watched them all.
That was actually, as bad as that was actually kind of funny.
I mean, that's my thing, is that there's, you know, everyone thinks there's so much to do in open world games, and I just don't see it.
Okay.
I think a lot of the missions are really tedious and stupid. A lot of the side missions are really dumb.
I get you, Alice. You know what you said was, it was head on, but for anybody, unless you're a kid who's not supposed to be playing most open world games, I don't know, why would you believe the possibilities are endless anyway? Because you have to stop somewhere. And plus, the game automatically flips you in a 180 if you happen to go off somewhere too far in most open world games. But another reason why, matter of fact, I would say that one of the only main reasons why one would be tired of an open world game is people like me and you, Alice. And what I mean by me and you is that what is it called? ODS or something like that?
Obsessive compulsive. OCD.
OCD. People like me and you are very OCD when it comes to video games. Like, minus the trophies and achievements, we will actually go out and do all that stuff and explore, like, every inch of the game, no matter what. And practically, it's hard for us, even if we're going through it a second time, as a second playthrough, at least for me, it's even hard to stray away from doing that stuff again. It's like, collect all this and collect all of that, even the second go-around. But so,
If I've already done it the first go-around, I don't need to do it the second go-around.
Well, yeah, you don't need to, but me, I don't explore as nowhere near as much as I did the first time. But if it's like collectibles, and say like if it's a collectible right here and it's right in my face, I'll get it. But if I know it's one like across the street, if it's one across the street, I'll really go out of my way to get it, even though I know I'm not about to collect all these all over again. But it's right there across the street. I'll go get it. That's how bad it is with me with video games. So that is like the main reason why I see how can one get tired of an open world game. But on top of that, they are like one of the best games you can play, because of me personally, I like to have the sense of real life. Like Grand Theft do real life as far as open world, where you can go in this store and you can like do certain things in this store. And if I was to go in the store right now, I can rob it in real life. I could do the exact same thing in Grand Theft. Well, if I was to go in this store right now, I can buy these shoes to go with that shirt, and I can buy them drawers too. In Grand Theft, I can do that too. So it's just the whole sense.
Hey Donnie, you know where else you can go buy some of them drawers? You can go to Kohl's in real life, or JCPenney and buy some of them drawers. Or Dick's Sporting Goods if you want.
I think Grand Theft.
And if you go there right now, you can rob it.
I think Grand Theft has a Walmart, their version of a Walmart. I'm not totally sure though, but yeah, stuff like I like.
Is it called Walmart?
I'm not sure what it's called, but the more real life like a game can be as far as open world, the better it is for me. You can send me an open world game and I can do everything I want to do, take my time with it, beat the game, however later else I get it. And then as soon as I get done with it, hop on Saints Row and do everything that open world does. As soon as I get done with Saints Row, I don't mind going over to Batman, which is you can't go into the store. Cause that's a different type of open world game. Batman is just basically you can just go around the city and just beat up people. You can't really go inside stores and buy stuff. So Batman is a different type of open world. But I don't mind, after I'm doing just those two back to back, I don't mind hopping over in Batman. Cause, you know, that's just me. I just find it strange that someone can be tired of an open world game besides that OCD component.
I mean, that's really what it is. Like, I hate having to run around a game and collect 50,000 secret packages and do like all these driving missions and assassination missions, and it got to me in Assassin's Creed as well, like having to climb all the towers and to get the eagle views and having to, you know, kill all, you know, do all these, it just gets to be too much. You know, it's like, I want to enjoy a game, but if I have to do something 50,000 fucking times, it becomes tedious. It becomes a chore.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. But like, that, to me, that falls under the whole OCD category. Like, you don't want to do it, but it's, you finding it hard to not do it anyway, just because you have OCD. Well, you have digital OCD.
Yes. Yield, do you have any kind of opinion on this topic?
I was going to say, I mean, I can see how people get tired of open world games. I mean, I still enjoy them, but even I find myself, what little I've been in Grand Theft Auto 5, even I kind of find myself going, wow, this is a lot to do. And I find myself, I'm trying really hard not to play it like my other Grand Theft games where I'm like, ooh, go steal this car. Ooh, here's a better one. Well, we'll just drop this in the middle of the road and steal this one. I'm trying really hard to just play the game and let it come to me. But there are times where I'm like, man, I'm tired of this crappy car. Ooh, there's one. Let me go get it.
I do the exact same thing, man. Like, oh, this car fast. Oh, but look at that one. I know that fast is way faster than this one. So I.
But I did. I did. There are some things from like San Andreas that I really enjoy. You know, I enjoy the ability to.
How about all the races you had to do? Because I hated races in Grand Theft Auto games, and you had like multiple ones in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
I've done one so far in 5. Yeah. And there's a bunch more that you can do. And I like racing games. I know it's a matter, as frustrating as they can get, I know it's just a matter of the traffic lining up in your favor.
Yeah, that. And then plus, you know, games like Grand Theft is not really built around those.
Yeah,
other,
it's not like
those
it's Grand Theft Auto is not Split Second. It's not Blur. Like, the car handling doesn't work as well, so.
Yeah. Though all the extra curricular stuff, as far the extra activities you can do in Grand Theft games, are not built around and not based around those activities. So yeah, it's going to be clanky. Like I said before, other than the OCD of video games, I can see why one could get tired of an open world game.
Well, I mean, I think Grand Theft Auto is a very good contender for Game of the Year. By the way, people are raving about it.
But that's just it, just by people raving. It's the game of the year in the video game world is based off popularity, not the actual goodness of the game, the whole overall greatness of the game. In the video game world, it's just the popularity of that game. Grand Theft Auto and Call of Duty could easily get game of the year every year just because the popularity of them. It's just like wrestlers. The more popular you are, you're not losing this match, you know. So that's in the video game world. Even though I will say this, and it's about to contradict myself, kind of pretty badly. Last of Us is not necessary. It's one of those Batman type game in the world, open world games. You can't really go in every. Matter of fact, you can't go in every house or every...
Well, I mean, Batman Arkham City, there is a city to travel around. You can go around the city beating up thugs. You can't do that in The Last of Us. It's a very linear game.
Yeah, but the difference between Batman Arkham City and Last of Us versus Grand Theft Auto and Saints Row type open world is that those type open world games are, you can pretty much do what you can do in real life. Go inside stores, open up car doors. If it has a door with a knob on it, you can pretty much go in it. And vice versa on the outside stuff, which you could do outside the world. The open world games in like Batman and Last of Us, you can go practically anywhere, but you can't go in practically anywhere. Like you on like Last of Us, you can go almost everywhere in the open world, but you can only go inside the set doors that's stationary for that story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are, you know, there are different types of open world games. So I say we pretty much summed up how can one get tired of a open world game.
Yeah, and hopefully I made my case well. All right, guys, well, we don't have any trophy tips this week, so it looks like we're going to just roll straight into housekeeping. As usual, we're going to put out a little notice here, guys. We're looking for writers, podcasters, video editors, and news reporters at Proven Gamer. If you want an easy way to contact us for that is just go to the Proven Gamer homepage, provengamer.com, and look for the tab that says Write for PG on the top. Like you said, if you've got any talent for writing or you're good at editing, you want to do some podcasting, just contact us and let us know. If you've got some good ideas, we'd definitely love to bring you on board. And, you know, as an example, PG spoilers. We constantly have guests for that. So just anything you'd like to do for the site, we'd definitely love to have you guys' input. And a couple ways to contact us. First, Twitter pages. We have our personal Twitter pages. I am at Sondasaurus Rex. Donnie is at Yuntwist. I yield to no one is at I yield to no one. Easy enough. And then Tricky Mick is at Tricky Mick. You can also contact at Trophy Whores and at Proven Gamer. There's also a Facebook page, so definitely go on there and like us on Facebook. It's Proven Gamer's Facebook page. And just kind of other ways that you can take in our content. YouTube, we've got an official Proven Gamer YouTube page. So if you're you like making videos for YouTube, hey, why not make videos for YouTube for Proven Gamer? And, you know, for those who are just looking to listen to us, just enjoy Donnie in your ear every week. You can listen to us on iTunes, and you can listen to us on Stitcher. And while you're on iTunes, if that's how you choose to consume us, give us a rating. Tell us what we're doing well. Tell us what we're not doing so well. We would prefer a 5-star rating, but hey, just let us know how we're doing. And then, of course, for our question of the week, if you want to leave us an answer for that, you can always call us. We love to have voicemails, especially if we can play them here on the show. Donnie, how can they contact us?
By calling this number, 330-PROVEN-9, 330-776-8369.
Very nice. And per usual, Proven Gamer is made up of a great staff. Obviously, without them, the site wouldn't be possible. But we also have some sponsors. First and foremost, Donnie, would you do the introduction as always? That's right, folks. Amazon, you already shop there. One way you guys can help us out, very easy, very quick, and you only need to do it once. If you go to the Proven Gamer, the front of Proven Gamer, and you click on the little link that takes you directly to Amazon, it'll help us out. It takes a few seconds out of your time. You can continue your normal shopping, but just that one little click when you go to provengamer.com to get to Amazon helps us out tremendously. And then, of course, last but not least, Miracle Cup, simulation racing tournament. Started by Undead Dog, our friend who actually was the creator of the Trophy Horse logo. Undead Dog is doing the Miracle Cup tournament, and if you donate enough money, you know, for sponsorship, you can actually have your car represented in the Miracle Cup. Actually, there's a Proven Gamer. Cool enough, there's a Proven Gamer car in there, and actually, I saw Tricky Mick actually finally shared a picture of it on Facebook, so it's definitely looking good. So Miracle Cup is tied to, of course, Extra Life, which is the huge 24-hour gaming marathon to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network. So check out Miracle Cup. You can find there's an official page on Facebook. Definitely a really cool thing. So if you're tied, if you're doing Extra Life this year, definitely look at Miracle Cup and give it some love on Twitter because Undead Dog is really doing some awesome things with it. To finish out, as usual, we're going to do our shout-outs. Donnie, since you got your manhood taken away this week, I think I'm going to let you go first. You need to have some kind of – we need to show you some kind of love for that.
Thank you, Alex. I want to give a shout-out to the doctor who got my Dragon Balls on his mantle.
You said you still had them.
No, yeah, I got them. I just had to get the Dragon Ball out there. because I'm a huge Dragon Ball fan. But yeah, shout out to the listeners as always. Like I say all the time, love you guys, and I even love the ones who don't love me back.
Oh, who doesn't love you back?
I don't know. I think it's a small. I think it's Tricky's people.
You mean like all two of them?
Yeah. And people in his household, too. I don't think they're too fond of me. But it's all good. I love you. I do love you.
All right, Yield. What about you?
I will give a shout-out to my wife for making an awesome apple crisp. I will give a shout-out to you guys. And I'll give a shout-out to our listeners.
Very nice. Very nice. Yield, next time that happens, next time that apple crisp gets made, airmail me some. Yeah. Or just throw it really hard. Do a hammer toss and see if you can get it over the Ohio River. Like that would be impressive. Right. It wouldn't even land in my hands.
Get it over the river. Okay.
All right. I would like to give a shout out to Tricky. He couldn't be with us tonight. He's doing some stuff. But we, as always, appreciate him for starting Trophy Whores and letting us all be part of it. So shout out to Tricky Mick. Hopefully he'll be back next week. And shout out to the listeners. As always, thank you guys for listening to us and tolerating our bullshit, even when we go completely off the rails or forget what day it is. We appreciate you guys very much. And my other shout-out is to my friend Amanda. I'm going to get to see Amanda in about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, so I'm very excited for that. So much, much love to Amanda and her family for letting me go up there to Vancouver and stay with them. It's going to be awesome. So if that's all... Yes, sir.
You got to get Amanda on the show because you talk about her all the time.
She's very awesome, so we will definitely have. I will talk to Amanda, and we will try to get her on the show sometime.
When you get down there, tell her Donnie said, "How you doing?"
Yeah, I'm not going to do that, Donnie. I'm not going to do that.
You
got
to say it in the Joey voice. Your best Joey voice.
Joey Lawrence.
How you doing?
That's not happening, Donnie. That's not happening. You know what? Maybe it's better if I don't have her come on the show with you. If that's what you're going to do. All right. So if that's all for this week, we will see you all next time. Everyone, happy trophy hunting.
Peace out.
How you doing?
Later, Gator.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Check it. Check it. You done made it through another one.
Replay.
Oh, download another one.
Continue your hordeo.
Or you can go and do a Tricky Man and
chop it.
However you do it. Just to forget the ray and leave a comment. And thanks again. Listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.